Here in John chapter 3, verse number 22, the Lord has, Nicodemus has come to him by night, and the Lord's dealt with Nicodemus. It says in verse number 22 of John 3, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem," that is John the Baptist, "because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison." Verse 25, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." So they have this question that's at hand. "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Verse 28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase," John speaking of Christ, the Lord Jesus, "but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all." Okay? "He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." John speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one to be listened to. He is the Lamb of God. He's the one that has been sent. Verse number 33. And he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Okay, so those that receive the testimony of the Lord hath set to their seal that God is true. We agree with what the Lord has ordained, what the Lord has commanded. Listen, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Speaking of Christ. And so we want to just consider about this morning and just take a look at the scriptures and this consideration about the Lord Jesus Christ having come and become a man like other men, but yet a man not like others. Okay, so he is the Son of Man. It's very important for us to remember that. He does associate with us in that he became a man, but he is not like us in that he is not from Adam's descendancy like we are, okay? Not from the standpoint of his father, okay? But through Mary, he is from the descendancy of man, but his bloodline's a different bloodline than ours. And as a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was conceived by the Spirit of God within Mary, went to full term and was delivered, was a baby, was a toddler, was a child, was a boy, was a young man, a man, all right? Now John writes here and said, speaking to them about, you know, the some of his disciples, they were jealous over John and they're worried about his ministry being compromised or coming lower. I mean, they love John and they enjoyed the ministry of John, and they come to John and say, "Hey, he's baptizing more than you are." John said, "That's okay. I'm glad that he's here. I'm glad to hear his voice. I'm glad that he's increasing. And you know, it's necessary that I must decrease." That's just right. John's heart is right, and he understands completely how it ought to be. He's comfortable with that, okay? But he says here that the one you really need to listen to, is the one that has all the Spirit of God within, okay? All of the Spirit of God within. "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God," and those words need to be heard. "For God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him." It's not meted out. To you and me, it's meted out. There's room for us to desire more of the Spirit of God within us. And not that we've got, it's kind of an odd subject to deal with. We have all the Spirit of God within us that we need to be saved. But you know what? We do indeed need to avail ourselves of the Spirit of God more and more. Some days we need to avail ourselves of the Spirit of God more than other days, okay? But always we need to avail ourselves to the Spirit of God more. It's good for us to pray that our Lord would fill us with His Word and His Spirit. And so John says about this man, the Spirit has not been given by measure to him. He's got it all. He has him all, if you will. The Father loveth the Son, verse 35, and hath given all things into His hand. So, as a man, He's 100% God, but as a man, everything has been given into His hand. He does not have the Spirit by measure like you and I do. He has all of the Spirit of God. He is God. Verse 36, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life right now, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him right now. You receive Christ, you've got life. You deny Christ and reject Christ, the one who has all the Spirit of God, not given to him by measure, has the words of God that he proclaims, has proclaimed and does proclaim even today, you've got the wrath of God abiding on you. What we want to look at this morning is, with the Lord's help, is this about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit. He says here in an earlier verse, in verse 33, He that hath received His testimony, those words that the Lord Jesus Christ has preached, His message, His gospel, has set to His seal that God is true. And we agree with the Lord. He is true, and we receive that. We don't have any ifs, ands, or buts about it. And there's a sealing that's at hand in that. We have the seal of God, the seal of the Spirit upon us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day and Your blessings upon us in this past week and in this day. We thank You for Your good word and the privilege to be able to meet together to worship You. Help us now as we look into Your word that You'd speak to us, You'd teach us, You'd help us. And Lord, we might be instructed by You. Father, we praise Your name, that You are God, and beside You there's none other. We praise Your name that You revealed Yourself unto us and showed us that there are three persons in the Godhead, yet You're one God. We marvel at that. We rejoice in it. We try to grapple to understand it and comprehend it. We thank You for Your word and the things that You've shown us about it. Thank You, Father, for Your Spirit that lives within. And help us, Father, that we might be filled with Your Spirit and Your Word, and we might be used of You to proclaim the gospel and do the work that You've given us to do here at Olmsted Baptist Church. Lord, strengthen us, Your children, Father. We need lifted up, and we need filled with You and Your blessings and Your word and utterance. And Father, for those that are here and not saved, we pray that You might fill them. And Lord, You might seal them too. Save them, Lord, as You only can. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. And amen. Sealed by the Spirit. Sealed by the Spirit. We take a look over here in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, and we see the Lord Jesus here dealing with His disciples. In verse number 1 of Luke 11, we read, And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. Now you consider about prayer, you know, prayer, understanding what prayer, we can stumble over that word, but what prayer means is to go to God, to go to someone and petition someone for something. Now in prayer, we can also exclaim some things. We can declare some things too. In prayer, we can worship. This of prayer is speaking about asking, okay? It's about asking. We see that here even in the model prayer, in the model prayers that the Lord gives. We petition the Lord. We are weak and have great inability, but our Lord is not weak and has great ability. And the Lord is worshiped in that we pray to Him. says in the scriptures that men ought always to pray unto God. Okay, he is the one that's worthy and do that. And so the Lord is praying here, and the disciples ask him, teach us to pray the way John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And so prayer, you know, you think about prayer, and that's the reason that the reason that the world scoffs at prayer is, what do words into the air do? We hear that reference. Well, we lived in St. Louis and we'd run into people, and even here, but more so there because of Catholicism, people would say a little prayer for me. And that's the context that they're coming from, is that they going to the place that they believe is the place of prayer and saying a few words, not petitioning God, but petitioning a quote-unquote saint, a statue, lighting a little candle to make a significance there about them doing their little prayer, and somehow that candle represents their prayer. As the world looks on that honestly, they say, what's that little bit of incantation thing do? You know, what power do we have? Well, that's a misunderstanding about prayer. You know, prayer in and of itself sounds like and doesn't look like much. It's certainly not any kind of horsepower or physical action, is it? We understand from the scriptures that it's not the prayer that does anything. Prayer works because God works. And let that be known. And let us declare that plainly as we go forward. We petition God that he would become involved in a thing and that he would move. So it's not the little body of words that you and I say, but it's what we ask and petition our Lord that he would do. It's God. God has the power, and our Savior has the power indeed, and he's right there at the right hand of the Father interceding. So we understand that prayer is not a physical thing. Prayer indeed is a spiritual thing. How is it that what I say, what our brethren pray, or even when we're by ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray to our Lord, and maybe we don't even open our mouths, but from our heart we pray. How is it that that does anything? Well, it's spiritual, isn't it? God is taking it on, and by the use of the angels, by the use of the Spirit of God, by the omnipresence of the Lord, he hears. And it's carried up to him. And even the prayers of the saints, the scriptures tell us, are a sweet-smelling savor unto our Lord. We acknowledge him in that we need his help. And so they ask the Lord, teach us to pray. And it is a spiritual prayer. He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Honor God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Your will is what needs to be, Lord. That's the best that there is. Give us day by day our daily bread. Notice the Lord is worshipped here at the beginning, but then he's being asked, because we need his power. We need his ability to bring things to pass and to work that will be a blessing and good. Feed us, Lord. Forgive us, in verse number 4, our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And we've looked at that recently. Our Lord will forgive us the way we forgive. May we be forgiving. There in the middle of verse number 4, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so, lead me away from temptation, Lord. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ taught to pray. Lead me from temptation. Don't we hear in this and in these things, move and work with your Spirit? Yeah, I mean, that's the power of God at hand. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go in unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, uh, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, that though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as it needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. So the Lord gives an example about this of prayer. Don't quit. Just like a man who has a friend, he won't get up and give him bread because he's his friend, but because he worries him, he will get up and give him some bread. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And these things are done in prayer. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, you wouldn't give your son, your child, a stone for a bread, would you? Or if he asks for fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? No, you wouldn't give him a snake to your child, your grandchild, the children of the church. You wouldn't do that, would you? We know better than that. Or if he will ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He's speaking to the disciples, and we need to remember that as the Lord's children. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit, but do we need the Holy Spirit? We do. You know, we need the Holy Spirit as a church, don't we? Individually, in our families, our marriages, our families, our homes, our church. We need the Holy Spirit in our state. We need the Holy Spirit in our nation, don't we? And so, is the Lord telling us? He's telling us, he says, pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. He says, God the Father is well pleased to give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him. You want more of the Spirit? Well, do we really get more, or do we just avail ourselves more? We become subject to the Spirit of God more. The Spirit of God is at hand. The issue is not the power of the Lord, is it? The issue's in us. And so we see here a great verse and a great truth. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us to understand the Scriptures and to apply the Scriptures and such as that. But we need the Holy Spirit of God to move and work in the hearts of those around us to be able to do the things that we need, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit. You know, I need the Holy Spirit of God to work in those surgeons here in the next week or two. And you know what? That would be a gift of the Holy Spirit to me, wouldn't it? For the Spirit of God to be at hand, the chief surgeon in that operating room. See what I'm saying? You that work, you need the Holy Spirit of God to keep a good and favorable spirit of your employer toward you, don't you? Amen? We need understanding of the Scriptures. We need help in the affairs of life. We need the Holy Spirit to move upon those that we know of, those of our children, grandchildren, families of the membership of the church, otherwise our neighbors. We need the Holy Spirit of God to move in their hearts and lives and save them, don't we? Wouldn't that be a great gift for our children to be saved by the Lord? We need the Holy Spirit. You know what? And the Father's pleased to give it. And he was casting out a devil, verse 14, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. You know, this is very much related to the earlier passages. I hadn't seen that because it's speaking about the work of the Spirit yet. And Luke is impressed by the Lord to write it this way. The Lord's casting out demons, other spirits, and the people are marveling at it. And then there's those that come along and say, well, he's doing that by Satan's power, that spirit, Beelzebub. And others tempting him sought from him a sign from heaven. And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Said Satan's kingdom will come to an end if he's casting out himself or his own. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? The few times that your sons cast out demons compared to the how much I've been casting out demons, what do you have to say about them? If I so many times cast demons out by the power of Beelzebub, then what are you saying about your boys? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, the Lord Jesus doesn't have the Spirit by measure. He's got all the Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, directs that demons be cast out. You know what? They're cast out. If you will, God, at the word of the Son, and you know, God's one God. He's all three persons are different offices, yet the same. The Lord Jesus Christ says for a demon to be cast out. You know what? God the Father's on that, and God the Holy Spirit's on that right now. They agree. They agree in every way, don't they? See what power there is in the Spirit of God? Any other spirit does not stand a chance. Does not stand any ability to be able to stand against God. Well, we should pray to our Lord. Amen. And the Lord says, with the finger of God cast out devils. He says, it's no effort. What can you push with your finger? You know, I can push my phone here across this pulpit, no problem. I'll take a look at this pulpit, and I couldn't move this pulpit hardly anywhere with my finger. But Jesus says it's only with the finger of God that I'm doing this. No doubt the kingdom of God is coming to you. And then he tells this, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his armor wherein he trusted and divided the spoils. He that is with me is against me. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. So the Lord gives a kind of a parable kind of fare here. He says, understand, it's only the strong that stand. You got an armored man. He's keeping his palace. There's only the only one that can come in and occupy in his stead and take his stuff and occupy his space is one that's stronger than him. I'm the strong man. I am the strong man. That's what the Lord's declaring there. Satan's armor won't do him any good. Satan's power won't do him any good. Satan and the work of his spirit that he does will not do him any good because I am stronger than he. The power of God is stronger than he. And then he tells about being with him or against him. Verse number 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. There's a note here in the margin of my Bible, the peril of empty hearts. And indeed, it is a perilous thing. See, the Lord's telling, this is the way it works with other spirits other than the Spirit of God. There might be folks that turn over a new leaf, clean things up. The spirits of Satan or the fallen angels are not interested in them anymore. They leave for a while, clean up their act and all that. And you know what? Because the Spirit of God is not at hand, they do not have the ability to resist. And so that spirit comes back along with seven others more wicked and take up house again. That's what kind of peril folks are in without the Spirit of God living within. The Father gives His Spirit, and we need to look to Him. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You want the Spirit of God? Sinner, you want the salvation of your soul? You need the Lord. You need to go to Him. Child of God, you want to avail yourself more to the Spirit of God that lives within you? I tell you what, ask your Father for it. Ask your Father. He's pleased to give it. And we consider this more about being sealed by the Spirit. Look at these verses here. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ has been sent by God the Father. And we see here in John chapter 6, and let's pick it up here in verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou? So this is at that time the Lord moves from one place to another place and around Galilee there, Sea of Galilee. And Jesus answered them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. He's consecrated forevermore, as it says in the Hebrews. The Lord Jesus Christ has no limit of the Spirit. He's been given all the Spirit. And it tells us here about this sealing by God the Father. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that's sanctioned by the Father to be the Savior. He's sealed. And you know what he does to his children that he saves? He seals them too. See, he's the one with the power. He's the one with the Spirit of God at hand. The Lord here puts it from the standpoint of meat and this crowd that's looking for the free lunch. He says, don't labor for meat that'll rot and go away. Don't labor for meat that your body uses and then that's done. But you labor for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Talking about works, you can't reach that with works. The only way that can be reached and attained is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But labor rather for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Here's the source, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. God giveth not, hath not given the Spirit unto him by measure. He's been sealed, and you know what? He seals his own. That word sealing, it's talking about preserving. It's talking about setting aside. It's very much relative to sanctification. That's what the Lord does with sinners that he saves. He sets them apart. And you know what? When he saves, it'll never be undone. When the Lord seals, as Jesus Christ, the man has been sealed by the Father and has all the Spirit given unto him as a man, as he hath been sealed, so he seals his own. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read over here what the apostle writes to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So Jesus has been sealed. He has all the Spirit of God. You want the Spirit of God, go unto the Lord. Go unto the Father. He's the one that gives his Spirit, and he's pleased to do so. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number let's read verse number 20. For all the promises of God in him in Christ are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you is in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Sealed by the Spirit of God. In the salvation of sinners, we have been sealed by that giving of the Spirit, which Jesus Christ has completely. He seals us just like the Father has sealed him to the ministry that he's called him to. And that ministry is directed towards us as sinners. And you know what? That's how a sinner's saved. by being given the Spirit of God living within. You know, people that don't take up, we spoke about that at the jail, about eternal security. You know, that doctrine of, and those that doubt the doctrine of eternal security, it's just a blasphemous assault upon the power and ability and work and purpose of God. You know, God is, our brothers pointed out, God is not weak in any way. You know, and if he takes the notion and takes the purpose to save, that salvation will not be undone. The Spirit of God has no one that can move him out of the house. When the Lord has sealed, he has sealed. And it's done. Would the Lord ever change his mind about sending Christ or sending the Lord Jesus to be the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ? No. And when the Lord saves, could that ever be undone? No. It cannot be, because it's the sealing. And then this passage speaks about the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That earnest. It's the when the Lord saves sinners, he gives assurance. And you know what? Peter tells us that even we who are saved, we can get in a state where we can forget that we were purged from our old sins. So don't we need the Spirit of God being given to us in that sense more and more, that we might be assured in our hearts before God? Fellowship with our Lord, not distance from our Lord, but fellowship with our Lord. We all need the Spirit of God within. And that earnest of the Spirit, that fellowship that we have, the Spirit of God living within us, bearing witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God, is the earnest at hand. You know, the Lord's going to finish this work. He's going to give us a body like Christ. Our souls are saved. Our spirits are alive by virtue of the Spirit living within. And we will one day have a body like unto Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We pick it up here in verse number 12. Let's read, let's get the, hard to get the whole sentence here. It's a one big run-on sentence. Let's read verse number 13. Speaking about Christ, previous verse talks about trusting in Christ. In whom also, for Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, and notice the order here, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There are promises to the children of God. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, knowing that those promises are true and that those promises the Lord has made are for us. Here in Ephesians, also in chapter number 4, we see this. A directive unto the children of God. We can grieve. We can quench the Spirit that lives within us. In verse number 30 of Ephesians 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The final day of redemption. Now, that word redeeming is talking about buying back. The Lord's buying back, even as it were, our bodies, and giving us a body like Christ. Grieve not that Holy Spirit. It's by the Spirit of God that we are sealed. Sealed by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus does not have the Spirit by measure, but he has all the Spirit. He's been sealed by the Father. And God Almighty gives the Spirit. The Father gives the Spirit to them that ask Him. And the Lord seals His own. In Acts chapter 4, in conclusion, we want to consider a couple things here. In Acts chapter 4, the brethren preach here. And we look at this one verse in verse number 12. They're preaching Jesus. Peter is preaching. And he says here in verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're going to be saved, if a sinner is going to be saved from their sins and given eternal life and be sealed by the Spirit of God, it's only going to be by the one who has all the Spirit of God and has been sealed himself by the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you don't need religion. You need a Savior. And you know what? There is that aspect too that we who are saved, you know, we need our lives saved. We can have our lives and they can be used for our Lord and this old flesh mortified and be a blessing and a witness of our Lord into a lost and dying world. You know what? The only salvation for our lives is yet again in our Lord. We need the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God in us, even as His children. We need to avail ourselves more to the Spirit of the Lord. We need to ask our Father that He would fill us with His Word and His Spirit. Give us utterance. Give us unction from on high. Give us help and obedience unto Him. We need Him. We've been sealed in regards to salvation. We're sealed. We're going to make it to be with our Lord. Indeed, He's going to carry us through. You know what? We need these lives used for our Lord. There's not salvation in any other. There's no plan B or plan C. There's only the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ here speaking. And you know, I find this interesting. I have read over it for years and only in recent times have I think come to understand more the import of this and how the Lord impresses Brother John to write this. And if you're in your mind's eye, go to here and the last day of the feast that is here, this feast that is at hand. It says in verse number 37 of John 7, listen to these words of our Lord Jesus. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Okay, so if he was sitting down, he stood up. If he was there in the temple, I kind of wonder and take it, maybe he might have been in the temple. But he's somewhere there in Jerusalem, if we understand it correctly. And he stood and he cries, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, what would you think if somebody stood up and declared something like that about themselves? But Jesus did that. He stood up and he declared that. Whoever was around there, don't you know that got their attention? Amen? And he's not bashful about what he said in any way, but he indeed declares the truth. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sinner, are you thirsty? I tell you what, you're going to find permanent help for that thirst in Christ, in our Lord Jesus. Come unto him and drink. He's got what you need. He that believeth on me, he says, just like the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John writes, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Goes on to say, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? The Lord Jesus Christ says there, if you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. If you believe on me, like the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John writes this under the directive of the Lord, but indeed he makes this note, but this he spake of the Spirit. sealed by the Spirit. You want the Spirit of God? Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God has all the Spirit. He's got plenty, if you will, to give out, doesn't he? There's no limit. There's no limit to the Spirit and the ability of the Lord. And you know what? Jesus Christ is our source for that. You know what? The Lord puts His Spirit within you. It'll flow out of you. It'll flow out of you to the honor and glory of the Lord. Jesus says, you thirsty? He said, I'll give you a drink. I'll give you a drink that'll be a river of living water flowing within and without of you. What's it say? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John says he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. You need to be sealed. You need to be saved, sinner. And child of God, may we avail ourselves to our Lord and His call of Him giving us this Spirit. What's it say here? Some people said He's got to be the prophet. Others said He's got to be the Christ. Not just a prophet, but the Messiah. Then they say, the doubters said, but is Christ going to come out of Galilee? How can that be? He's from Nazareth. Can't be. Not Galilee. Hath not the scripture said, verse 42, that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? They just never asked him where he was born. They were blinded. They were blinded. Listen. So there was a division among the people because of him. You know what? There still is. There still is a division among the people because of Christ. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Do you desire the Holy Spirit of God? I tell you what, Jesus Christ has this Holy Spirit. He's the Savior. He can save and wash away your sins and by the Holy Spirit of God give you life and seal you into the day of redemption. Child of God, we've got the Holy Spirit within us. We've been sealed. We've been sealed like Christ has been sealed in that sense of the Spirit, and Christ is a man. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a salvation we have. Which side of the dividing line are you on? There was a division because of Christ in that day, and there's a division because of Christ in this day too, sealed by the Holy Spirit.